All right, hello, it's Julie with Hephzibah Talks a Lot. I've been doing a lot of things lately, so I've kind of been remiss on podcasts, and that should be no surprise, because I do this all the time. I go hog wild and post like 30 podcasts in a row, and then you don't hear from me for a while. I'm hoping this sound is coming across well, because I'm using a certain different way of recording it, so hopefully it's okay. Looks like it is. It's moving like it would be. But here's the thing. All right. So if you're watching the news at all, there was excessive force with police officers that led to the death of a black man in Minneapolis. Now, there is no denying excessive force. They had their knee in his neck, like, the entire time. It's all on video. He's already handcuffed. What the literal hell are you doing? And I'm going to use a bad language there, because literally, what are you doing? Now, sometimes you need to use force because someone's extremely violent. Maybe they're hyped up on drugs. The issue is not necessarily that they're using force. It's the fact that they continue to use force. I can't watch the video for a myriad of reasons. I am one of these people that cannot watch someone actually literally truly die on film. It's a problem with me. I can't handle seeing someone lose their life for real, okay? Like, that's why I can watch movies and I can differentiate between reality and fiction, and I can, you know, handle it. Especially when I enjoy movies. I'm not going to say violent movies, but I mean, the Marvel movies, they're violence. They're comic violence. Not funny comic, but comics violence. But they're still violent. Jurassic Park, you know, those kind of things. I can watch those and understand that. I'm very careful about watching, like, based on live, based on a true events, based on someone's real situation. And even to a certain degree, not always, but to a certain degree, if I know like an actor died on set or because of a movie or some such thing, I can't watch that movie. So like Heath Ledger dying playing Joker, I can't watch the movie that he was Joker, because he got so involved in that role that it basically caused him all these issues and led to his death ultimately. So things like that, I just have, it's a weird quirk. I can't explain it. It's just, it's me, and we'll live with that. So anytime there's a video where someone's gonna either be very horribly brutalized, and it's an actual video of it happening, it would suck if I was ever on a jury, guys, let me just tell you, because I've been on a jury before, but a jury where I have to watch someone, a violent video, or someone's death, or something, I'd have to be like, you know, legitimately, if you're gonna be showing me footage, I'm not gonna be able to watch it, and that would probably, like, really ruin my opportunities as a jurist. Not like I'd be eager to be a jurist. Just saying. But I digress. So I can't watch this video because it actually shows the man die. And I have a very, as I was saying, difficult time. Now some of you may say that I could watch it up to a certain point and turn it off. While that is all true, there's still the knowledge that this person's going to die. Right? Like all the beheadings ISIS does, all of that. I can't watch any of that stuff. I can't watch any of it. These are actual lives. I had started watching a COVID-19 video where a woman was progressively deteriorating and she was making a video every day. And when it started to get to the end of her life, I had to stop the video because I can't do it. I can't. Even though we knew she wasn't going to physically die on the video, it was getting to the point where she couldn't even speak and I just had to turn it off. Okay, so there's my thing about how I have not watched this video. So the rest of this podcast, have that in your mind. I have not watched this video. However, I was fully aware when it launched. I was fully aware that it is a full-on video of this man dying due to excessive force. Now, I don't know, because I haven't looked at everything about it. I'm assuming they're all white officers. I'm assuming. Once again, I could be wrong. But I know for almost a fact that the one on him using the excessive force was a white officer. So here's my thing, okay? I've said it before in some of my podcasts, and I'm going to say it again. I absolutely 100% refuse to apologize for being white. I refuse. I refuse to feel badly for my skin color. I refuse to be like, I'm so sorry I was born white. Oh, you're right. Like, us white people are so horrible. I refuse to accept reverse racism. I refuse it. And you guys can take from that what you will. But I will not sit here and apologize and feel badly because I was born white. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I don't want anyone to do that no matter what their skin color is. I don't want a black person to apologize and feel badly for being born black. I don't want a yellow-skinned person to, and why they use that color for their tone of skin, I don't know. But I don't want them to have to apologize for their skin color and feel badly about it. I don't want brown people to feel badly about their skin color and apologize for it. No one should have to apologize for your fracking skin color. No one should feel badly for the color of their skin. It's interesting because I was talking to someone here in China, and we were talking about randomness because that's what life is. And she was telling me that they don't get a lot of sun because they want their skin to be whiter. And we know this is true. We look at a lot of the videos that a lot of their makeup and stuff is all about making their skin tone lighter. They are all about lightening their skin. And I mean, I don't want to assess that or talk about that or look at why they do that or if it's right or if it's wrong or whatever. All I want to say is no one should feel badly about their skin tone. I always think about Song of Solomon, and at one point, even though I use this portion of scripture as a reference to sin darkening your life, but she's talking about how her brothers hated her, which I have a really hard time understanding because later they're protective of her, so I don't understand the concept, but moving on. But she talks about her brothers hating her and making her work in the vineyard, and so her skin is not white and soft like a wealthy woman's would be back then because she had to work in the sun and the sun has darkened her skin. And she says, do not look upon me because I am dark. I look at that as like sin has darkened my life. Don't look at me. Don't look upon me because I know I'm not a beautiful person inside. I know that I've got issues. Yeah. Point blank, obvious. But she's actually literally talking about her skin. And I mean, that's just how she feels. Don't look at me. But he says that she's beautiful as the tents of Kedor and the tribes of the Bedouin tribes and all that stuff. Okay. Not going to get into that. She shouldn't have to apologize for being darkened by the sun. I shouldn't have to apologize or feel badly that my skin is white. And you shouldn't have to apologize if your skin is not white or feel badly. I am not even white enough to be considered white. If you think about me, honestly, if I went to like Louisiana where like deep-rooted hatred, racism exists. I know it's everywhere, but, you know, the South is where, like, be careful. I'm not even white enough to be considered white there. I'm not, because I have Hispanic blood in me. I really hope I have Jewish blood in me. I don't know. I need to do a test and find out if there's really a way to find that out. But, I mean, I definitely have to have some kind of Native American blood in me. Hispanic blood, I definitely have, you know, and I do have some, whatever, white, wherever the white comes from, the French, the wherever, I don't even know. I've not really done a genealogy thing because I don't care. I'm not going to say I don't care because, like I said, I'd really like to know if I have Jewish blood in me. But the point of fact is, I'm white enough to be considered white and to be part of reverse racism. And like I said, I've talked about this in another podcast. I hate the fact that they're teaching kids in school that they should be ashamed that they're white, that they're all privileged. Guys, I'm going to tell you what. I work my ass off, okay? Do I get more breaks than possibly a black woman would get? I don't doubt that I do. Because racism does exist. I'm not pretending it doesn't. I'm not pretending that maybe me and a woman of any skin color other than white comes against me for a job and we all have the same qualifications, very similar backgrounds, very similar experiences that they may opt for me if they're a racist. I don't doubt that. I don't argue that. I shouldn't have to sit there and go, well, did I get hired because I'm white and she isn't? I know if I have racism, guys. I know if I'm being racist. I know if I'm having any kind of racist thought. And believe me, not all racism is black against white or white against black, okay? Not all racism is that point blank. And I'll tell you why. Because like in New Mexico, we don't have a lot of black population there, unfortunately. The majority that we have there are, we have Hispanics, we have the Spanish, which are, yes, two different things. We have the white population, and we have the Native American. Those are our primary. We don't have a lot of Asian, and we don't have a lot of, like, Indian, and we don't have a lot of blacks. We just don't. It's New Mexico is mainly Hispanic, Spanish, Native American, and white. That's mainly what it is. Primarily Hispanic, Spanish, and Native American. Okay, but the white culture there is whatever that happens to be, because there really isn't one, is moving itself up in New Mexico, because we have beautiful skies. If you want to live somewhere where there's beautiful skies in all four seasons, New Mexico. But I digress. So, we are not horribly as diverse as we should be as a state, but we all know there's concentrations, it happens. So the racism there is not necessarily whites against blacks or blacks against whites. It's the Hispanics against the Spanish. And you're like, how can you tell? You can tell. And I'm not saying, like, I can tell. Like, I can look and be like, oh, you're Hispanic. Oh, you're Spanish. I'm not saying that. It's just like in China. There's different ways they speak. So people are like, oh, you speak Shanghaiese. However you say it. Shanghainese. However it's said. But other people, I'm from Beijing, so I speak a different form of Mandarin. So, like, that's kind of how the Hispanic and the Spanish thing works. Like, there's certain things they say, and they're like, that's Mexican. So, there's that racism that goes on. Then there's the whites against the Hispanics, the whites against the Mexicans, vice versa. Mexicans against the whites, Hispanics against the whites. I was basically submerged in this kind of racism to the point that it was natural to me, and I didn't realize it was racism, okay? And it goes along the lines of how people look at black people and say, like, they're all poor, they're all drug dealers, they're all whatever, deadbeat fathers, all the lies that racism generates, right? Because you're inundated by it, and it becomes second nature unless you're taught otherwise, okay? So who's really failing? We should be teaching otherwise, right? But you're taught racism. So for my teaching of racism, I was taught the whole thing, like, all Mexicans are on welfare. You can tell if you have a Hispanic or a Mexican in front of you because their cart's all full of crap, and they use, not crap, but, like, you know, basically they have a cart full of stuff when you're sitting here trying to budget out your $20 to buy school supplies for that year or whatever. And they go through with their SNAP or their welfare checks and whatever. So then they make those comments, like, all the Mexicans are on welfare, all the Hispanics are on SNAP. These are the things that are said constantly. Then, of course, there's a whole, like, they all live together, but they all apply for welfare, so then they all, like, pull their money, and they're wealthier than people that are legitimately working, blah, 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 blah. So these are all the things that are inundated into us in New Mexico to the point that it's normal to say something like, oh, they must be a Mexican. Oh, that must be a... Usually it's a Mexican, I find. They don't really say it about Hispanics much. I mean, they do, but it tends to be the Mexican slur that comes out. And then, of course, you have the speak English. Believe it or not, that is highly a racial statement to make. When someone comes in, they speak Spanish, and you're like, oh my gosh, you're in America, speak English. Since when? You know, I mean, America's a smelting pot of, is it smelting or melting? Of, all different races and cultures and identities and everything. And it's supposed to be a place where you can. Now, granted, the language barrier would make it hard to communicate if you don't speak Spanish, but all they speak is Spanish. I am managing to make it here in China not speaking their language. So, honestly, when I get back to America and I'm speaking with someone that speaks Spanish, I'm going to be way more tolerant, way more patient, and way more understanding, than I was even before my eyes were opened before I came here. We shouldn't insist they speak English. We should encourage they do, because that opens a lot of doors for you. But so does speaking Mandarin, and so does speaking German, and so does speaking French, Italian, whatever, right? Yes. So, do they need to speak English? It's helpful. But do we need to be all rude and dismissive? No. But in New Mexico, they are, which is ironic. Because, like I said, the majority of the population there speaks Spanish, right? So, I don't understand why it's such a big deal. But, anyway, I digress. So, racism doesn't always take on a form that you would recognize. So, what this means is we need to break through the entitlement of America and get them to learn and be self-aware. I think one of the biggest ways that we fail our youth is not teaching them to be self-aware. So, for instance, it has taken God many years to teach me how to respond in real life. In other words, how to not be a total witch. Because most people are just dill holes. They're just jerks. And it doesn't matter what you do. They're right, you're wrong. You can't discuss anything with them. And even if you're clear as can be, they're going to argue their points, which are exactly your points, but you're still wrong. They're right. Even though you exactly said what they're saying. And I just experienced this yesterday, so I can tell you 100% how true this is. I can straight up tell you exactly what's true, but because you read it with your filters engaged, you took it wrong. Okay? So a perfect example for me on this is that today, one of my friends, she's a black woman. She's amazing. She shared about this death of this man. 100% legitimately never should have happened. 100%. Excessive force 100% used. Without a doubt. Undeniably, once again, just ways to cause hell in America with this. Okay. So, basically, she shared someone else's post. And let me see if I can find it really quickly. But anyway, she shared someone else's post and I saw what she shared and I read what she wrote and it bothered me. Now I'm going to tell you, it obviously bothered me in the way of, my filters being engaged and me getting pissed off. And the filter that I can tell you right now is engaged, is the one that I will not apologize for my skin color. And I'm sick and tired of reverse racism existing, and I'm supposed to feel like crap. Like, here's part of it. Like, people want me to feel like crap because slavery existed in America. Okay, I was born in 1980. I can guarantee and tell you 100% that my grandparents did not own slaves. And I definitely did not have parents that owned slaves. And I sure as crap did not own slaves. And I do not condone slavery in any way, shape, or form. So why am I apologizing for something America did when I didn't even exist? And that, granted, my great-great, if I looked at my history, which I don't, great-great-great-great-great-great-great uncle could have possibly owned slaves, like some evil slave owner. But why am I apologizing for him? Do you see what I'm saying? Like, why am I made to feel badly for the actions of people I don't even know? And I'm not talking about, like, ignoring things that are going on in today's society, or even taking responsibility for things that happened in the past in America and making sure they don't happen again. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm saying, why do I have to carry the weight, the burden of someone else's choice? Why do I have to apologize for my skin color because slave owners existed in America? Obviously, we believed, America, that slave owning was wrong because the side fighting against slave ownership was the Union, which was, of course, the government side of the reality situation. Anyway, so what happened was this person posted that picture of a cop kneeling on the black man's neck until after death has my spirit seriously troubled. And well, it should. Okay? It should. Because there is no way that was okay at all. But my friend, she said, I need to stop reading American news. Nowhere, absolutely nowhere else is this happening in the world to POC at the levels it's happening inside the USA. Which POC is people of color, if you don't know. It's sickening and disgusting. But here's why I got bugged. Because everything she's saying is legit. Although, honestly, I don't fully agree that it's not happening elsewhere. I just feel like we're not hearing about it because we're not looking. Right? I mean, most of my news comes out of America. But I can pretty much guarantee in South Africa and in Africa with the apartheid and all that stuff like this happens all the time. Rwanda. I mean, we're looking at this kind of stuff all the time. I mean, seriously, there's stuff going on, guys. There's stuff that I found out about, and I was actually doing a podcast, and because of where I live, and it was relating to where I live, I had to delete it, because any chance that it could be into the hands of the government here, with my opinion, would be negative for me. So I had to be censored on that. You gotta be smart sometimes. Sometimes. Anyway, so what ticked me off was the last thing she wrote. White America should be ashamed. And that pissed me off. And I'll tell you why. Because firstly, there was a massive protest. And it wasn't just black people protesting. The people rose up. So I said, in fact, Americans held a large protest about this very event. All officers involved have been fired. Americans are demanding justice. While racism exists, we shouldn't feed it. We should join together to end it. And then I posted a picture of people grieving at the site where he was killed. And it's not just black people grieving, okay? And then I shared the whole one of the headlines about people are protesting. And then she said, I saw the protest. Frankly, this should not be an issue any longer. It's not 1960, it's 2020. Why is this still happening? Answer me that. Because racism is always going to exist. We're never going to end racism. You're feeding racism by saying white America. You're feeding it right there. We're never going to end it. Never. Because for as many people that are self-aware like myself and is fully aware of any time I'm involved in a racist thought, I hear a racist comment, I can maybe correct a person. If they say something, I'd be like, you know what? That's not really racist. I mean, that's not really racist. That's not really appropriate. That's a racist statement. It doesn't mean it's going to change their way of thinking. My responsibility is to me. How do I respond? How do I make this better? And by saying white America should be whatever it said. I can't remember now. White America should be ashamed. The irony is that they don't see that as racism. But you're specifically and pointedly calling out white America, calling out white people for the actions of a select few. That's racism. That's what I'm talking about. There's got to be a better way. Do I know what it is? No. All I know is it starts with me. If I can eliminate racism in my own life and lead by example and start changing the minds of people, then by all means, it'll happen. But because people are raised by the people they're raised by, racism continues to exist. Consider for a second, as I wrap this up, that when Kaylee and I lived in our apartment, there was an older gentleman there that Kaylee said every time they met in the elevator, he would just give her the dirtiest looks and he was a total Beavis to her. And I told her, you have to understand, Kaylee, that this man was raised in the generation where they hated America, hated us. People were tortured and killed just for them even hinting that they possibly were sympathetic to America. People fled China when all this went down. So it's understandable that this man has not taken on the whole expats are welcome, America's welcome, now let's learn English mentality that has recently become a popular thing, right? He was raised in it. It takes a lot to undo that. And if it's not even begun to be undone, then the next generation is being raised in that. And then the next generation is being raised in that. We can't force change on people. And unfortunately, people are really good at hiding their racism. There's a lot that are blatantly obvious about it. But like I said, New Mexico is saturated in racism. And they are completely unaware of it. Completely. Because it just flows off their tongues every time. So, there you go. Take from that what you will. That's my podcast for today.
Hello, everybody. It's Julie with Hepzibah Talks a Lot. I'm just going to take 1 second, okay, maybe a little longer, to talk to you about writing.com. Now, I'm not doing this for any money or anything. I'm just letting you know about a great supportive community that I think it would be great for you to join. Writing.com has been around for a long time. They actually started out as stories.com, and I stumbled on them when I was a lot younger and joined, and eventually they got too big for that domain and became writing.com in order to encompass more than just storytelling. This website is amazing. It is a community of writers and readers. So if you're not a writer but you love to read, join writing.com. If you don't really read a lot because you're so busy but you love to write, join writing.com. If you're a little bit of both, join writing.com. It's an amazing community. Now you can get a free account and then they have paid memberships. I currently just do the second tier, the upgraded membership, and it allows me to have more items in my portfolio. I love to pay to have a membership because I love to support writing.com. That's the main reason that I pay to keep my membership updated and current. But I just wanted to have an advertisement about writing.com. Once again, not for any monetary gain. It's not even an official one. They won't even know I'm doing it. But I just want to encourage people to go and join writing.com. It is truly a place that has helped me develop as a writer. It has helped me be encouraged. And I have met people there that have been my friends through the distance online and have supported me and offered me advice with my writing and have been there with me or for me as I've made these transitions to China and other locations. So once again, writing.com, writing.com. Join today.
It's Julie with Hepzibah Talks a Lot, and I'm just going to briefly talk to you about Simply Piano. Now, you can play Simply Piano for free, but you won't go very far in your levels with that. If you dabble in Simply Piano and find you really like it, then I highly recommend you upgrade. You will not regret it. As you upgrade, you are able to go through more levels. I am currently on Essentials 2, and I am working my way through learning the left hand along with the right hand. So once you start moving through your levels, you're able to unlock sheet music. They have 5-minute practices you get to do during the day. And you also unlock songs. So the song I just played was one that I've learned the left hand and right hand for at a very simplistic level. But I only like to play the right hand with that one. One of my favorite songs to do is George Michael, Careless Whisper, Simplified. And so to round out this lovely ad, just to show you what it's like to play one of the songs on Simply Piano, I'm going to go ahead and play that for you. Just know that I am still learning. I love Simply Piano. You can download it on Android through Google Play. I'm pretty sure they exist in the iStore, the Apple Store as well.
Thank you.
And there you go. So if you liked what you heard, which you may or may not have, but please give Simply Piano a try and send me an email, htal.podcast@gmail.com, and let me know what you think.